Welcome back to VSiN's Primetime Action right here on MSG Plus on a Friday night in Las Vegas. It's Gil Alexander, Matt Brown, Danielle Alvari, Kelly Bidlin. Matt and Kelly have flights to catch after this show. I don't know if they're going to get there on
me?
A Friday night.
Me?
You're in trouble.
Yeah. Because
you're going home first?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
Wait, Kelly's catching a flight as well?
No. Oh, I'm sorry. Oh. You and Matt.
Pardon me. My gosh, we got a carpool.
No. Yeah, I was going to say, could have carpooled. All right, Kelly, you have an in-game wager on the Celtics. Still down 12. 7:45.
Yeah, down 12. 7.5 looks a lot better than the 4.5 that I got earlier. We'll see, though. Plenty of time to go, Gil. We do have some upsets brewing in the NBA, though. The Pelicans with a 1-point lead over the Sixers.
What?
101-100. 7 minutes left to go in the game.
Sans Zion.
And Brandon Ingram. No Brandon Ingram tonight either. So, surprising to see that. Sixers only 2.5-point live favorites right now. 230.5 live total. Up to 14 in Chicago. Bulls 67, Celtics 53. Bulls now 8.5 and 218.5. Rockets leading the Bucks 56-54. 2 minutes left to go in the second quarter. So haven't seen too much line adjustment yet. Bucks still a 10.5-point live favorite. 237.5 your live total. The Magic leading the Hornets 53-47. 2.5 minutes left to go in the first half in that game.
What
Hornets
is happening?
4.5-point live favorite.
Madness.
217.5. Might be a good night to be on here, man. 217.5 live total in that one. The Heat with a 1-point lead over the Timberwolves, 50-49. 3 minutes left to go in the first half in that game. Heat 8.5 live and 228.5. Your live total. Mavericks taking care of business against the Cavs first quarter, 27-15, 1 minute remaining in the first. Mavericks 12.5 live and 218.5 is your live total. Over in Major League Baseball, Marlins on top of the Brewers, 6-1, top of the sixth. Diamondbacks on top of the Mets, 4-1, top of the fifth. If you wanted to hop in live on the Mets, you could get plus 375. 8.5 is your live total in that game. Phillies on top of the Braves, 7-1, bottom of the fifth. Cardinals on top of the Rockies, 2-0, top of the third. No live numbers currently posted for that. Red Sox and Orioles, scoreless, top of the second. Orioles are minus 120 live. Red Sox, minus 110, 8.5 live total. Twins, Tigers, I'm seeing Twins 2, Tigers nothing, and we are in a delay, apparently, in that game. Bottom of the third in Texas, Rangers leading the Mariners 4-2. Rangers minus 200 live, Mariners plus 165, 11.5 live total shaded to the over. White Sox and Royals scoreless, bottom of the fourth. White Sox minus 130 live, Royals even money, 5.5 your live total. And the Astros leading the Blue Jays 3-2, top of the third. Astros minus 450, Blue Jays plus 340, and 11.5 your live total. Yankees and Nationals all tied up at 3, bottom of the seventh inning. Yankees maybe have a guy in scoring position because they are minus 220 live right now. Nationals plus 180, 8.5 live total in that game. And Reds and Indians scoreless, top of the third. Indians minus 160 live, Reds plus 130, 6.5 the live total. Over in the NHL, Red Wings leading the Blue Jackets 3-2, a little over 10 minutes remaining in the game. Blue Jackets plus 240 live, 6.5, heavily shaded to the over is your live total. Flyers up on the Capitals 3-2. We're just a minute into the third period in that game. Flyers minus 210 live, Capitals plus 170, 7.5 live total in that game, shaded to the under. Stars up on the Lightning 4-1, 17 minutes to go in the game. Wild leading the Ducks 2-1, 19 minutes left to go in the second period there. Wild minus 550 live, Ducks 4-1, and 7.5 live total.
I feel like I've asked you this before, Kelly, but Milwaukee tonight, 17.5-point pre-flop favorites against the Houston Rockets. Is that the largest spread in the NBA this year, pre-flop? I wonder.
I want to say we saw 16.5 earlier. I thought that's where that closed at today, but maybe other shops 17.5.
I see some 17.5s out there.
We'll have to do that research again.
Yeah. Milwaukee again, as Kelly mentioned, in a dogfight with the Rockets here late in the first half, tight game. That doesn't mean the Bucks aren't going to pull away in the second, but for right now anyway, 60-58 in favor of the Bucks. 53 seconds left in the second quarter there in Milwaukee. Milwaukee just jockeying for seeding with the Brooklyn Nets. Who's going to finish two? Who's going to finish three behind the Sixers in the East? It's Gil Alexander, Matt Brown, Danielle Alvari, Kelly Bidlin. This is VSiN's primetime action on MSG Plus tonight. Betting sports, some preflop, some live.
We might have some New York money rolling in. Everyone getting ready to watch the game over there. Down to 6.5. Suns 6.5. Drew said he liked them. He actually bet him at 6.5, right? Isn't that what he said?
Yeah, he laid 6.5 with the Suns. I've got 7 with the Knicks. Yeah, Drew and I heads up tonight. Yeah.
Do you think Drew saying that, our influence right there, moved the market? Do you think that's what just happened there?
it's been 6.5, I think, in most places for most of the show.
It was 7.5. When we had him on at DraftKings.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Move down. Now it's what on DraftKings?
6.5.
6.5. Well, full point there. Suns, 6.5 point favorites in a game with big implications for both teams. Knicks trying to stay out of that play-in. Suns trying to get the number one seed. I guess we assume that they're trying to get the number one seed.
Hey, Jason Tatum's 2-for-11 from the field. Is that good?
That is not good.
Not good.
I'm told that's not good. Celtics down 14, Kelly. Plenty of time, like you said. Plenty of time. Let's talk a little UFC. This just in, there's a UFC fight card tomorrow night. We definitely want to bring in our guy from Florida, host of the main event on ESPN West Palm, at Wood on 106.3 is where you can follow him on Twitter. He joins us over Skype right now. It's Jordan Sherwood, everybody. How you doing, Jordan?
Well, Gil, Matt, Danielle, good to talk to you again about a pretty underrated, but I think very interesting fight card tomorrow night for the UFC.
All right. Well, talk to us about that. Let's start with the prelims. What do you like on a prelim card that looks pretty interesting?
Yeah, let's go with the first fight of the night. Carlston Harris, who's about $1.50, $1.60 favorite over Christian Aguilera. The last time we saw Aguilera, he really struggled against a big-time wrestler. He gets that same formula, that same opponent in Carlston Harris, and I don't believe that Aguilera has done enough over the last 3 to 4 months to prevent this fight from being on the ground yet again. And at $1.50, $1.60, I think there's certainly value for Carlston Harris to start us off on a winning track for that fight card.
Carlston Harris -167 welterweight bout. Anything on the middleweights or the featherweight on the prelims?
Yeah, and then nothing really else, standing out to me. Maybe a small play on Park. He looked good in his last performance, and his opponent was the last man on the scale. He did make weight, but I think just the overall game and the constant pressure that we saw from Jun Young Park his last time out, and plus at dog money, I'll probably suggest a small play on that, but not one of my stronger recommendations for the fight card.
All right, Carlston Harris noted, however, -167.
We do have a handful of top 15-ish ranked fighters on the main card here, and starts off with the strawweight Angel Hill coming in 12th. Listen. This is, I think if people have watched, they probably are familiar with Angela Hill, but Amanda Ribas probably not. What do you think about this one?
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to be very interested to see how Amanda Ribas, bounces back. Her last time out, she got stopped viciously by, the woman that's fighting Marina Rodriguez in the main event. So we'll have to see how Ribas bounces back from her last performance. Angela Hill is always, in that top five, in that title hunt discussion, but she can never seem to get over the schneid, wins two, loses one. But just a good overall all-around fighter. I mean, she made her debut as a mixed martial artist on the reality show, had no MMA experience, and now is one of the top fighters that we have in the UFC. Very good all-around game, good pressure. I mean, I think if there's a suggestion for it, it's going to be just the obvious over, because I don't see neither one of these women being finishers. But I think they're so evenly matched. You can convince me Ribas is the right play. You can convince me Angela Hill is the right play. So I think probably just sit back and relax and enjoy the fight. Or if you need to play it, if you really need to do it, play the over, because I don't see either woman finishing the other.
All right. And for the audience that is not familiar with betting this sport, the over is set at what, 1.5 rounds here, 2.5?
It'll be dependent on the fight. Like, there's a fight in the heavyweight division that I like as an under at 1.5. But in this particular case, and in most cases, Gil, the round totals are 2.5 for non-title fights, and typically 4.5 for main event or championship fight. So in this particular case with Hale and Hibas, it'll be over 2.5.
Makes sense.
Over 2.5 at -215.
-215.
Yeah. And again, so not a lot of value there.
Yeah, not. So again, a 3-rounder over 2.5. You're essentially betting on it going the distance, although not technically. What I love about that is the one thing that the pandemic did give us, Jordan, is I recognize some of these fighters, right? Like UFC became something that those of us who bet other sports followed, right? For lack of anything else. We're like, well, let me give this a try. And Angela Hill, I remember, you know, definitely fighting last year. Obviously, I see Cowboy Cerrone coming up as well. Anything between the strawweight fight between Ribas and Hill, of the next three up on the board right here, so you have a welterweight, a heavyweight, and a lightweight. Before we get to the co-main event and the main event, what do you like on any of those
three?
I'm gonna
identify the lightweight fight, and my buddy Lou also likes this fight, who joined you several times. Diego Fajeia is the underdog right now at +145, +150 against Gregor Gillespie. Couple of reasons why I like Fajeia in this fight. One, I think that he's just the better overall and all-around fighter. He had won 6 fights in a row prior to his last loss, which is a split decision loss to Beneil Dariush, who's on a meteoric rise right now in the lightweight division. So he could have won that fight. Also, he missed weight, and he missed weight badly. Like, he didn't even try to make the lightweight limit of 156. He showed up midway through the weigh-ins at 160 pounds. Didn't look like it was a grueling weight cut, and he just basically gave up and gave 30% of his purse to Gregor Gillespie. And the third reason why I like Fajeia in this fight is because Gregor Gillespie has not fought since November of 2019. In that fight, he got brutally finished by Kevin Lee. It was the first loss of his mixed martial arts career. And don't get me wrong, Gregor Gillespie is an outstanding talent, potentially could be a future title challenger. He's that good. But I think that coupled with the long layoff and the fact that he's going in there with an absolute buzzsaw in Diego Fajeia, who had won 6 fights in a row prior to that split decision loss, I'll take Fajeia as an underdog. And plus the fact, too, look, he gave up. He basically is cheating right now. And I don't condone cheating. It's terrible that this happens in this sport. But he gave up on the weight cut, and he's going to have an advantage tomorrow night against Gregor Gillespie.
Wow. Fascinating.
So, listen, let's head to the co-main event. Donald Cowboy Cerrone, big favorite in this. But, I mean, look, on the back end of his career, no doubt about it, lost 4 in a row, including a no contest in there as well. I mean, this is, you know, we see this a lot, Jordan. I mean, you know, guys, as their career is winding down, but they have big names that they can somehow still, you know, they're still going to draw a lot of money. They're still going to draw a lot of fanfare, even though their skills are declining, getting up there in age, whatever it might be. How do you view this one? Do you feel that this has gotten to a point where this number has gotten a little too egregious again on a guy that's, you know, kind of on the downside of his career?
Yeah, Matt, you make a great point about Donald Cowboy Cerrone. He's one of the most popular fighters, future Hall of Famer, but this is a very winnable fight for Donald Cowboy Cerrone. He's going to fight a guy in Alex Morano, who first off is taking this fight on short notice. He's a guy that's good everywhere, not great anywhere. Cowboy Cerrone has struggled with guys that'll pressure him and either grapple or hit like a ton of bricks. Morano will pressure a little bit, but he won't turn this into a grappling fight. He'll stand and trade and put this into a Muay Thai and kickboxing fight. And I know what you're talking about. Despite the fact Cowboy has lost 4 fights in a row, he's 38 years old, he's fought 50-plus times, you know, I think this is a winnable fight, and I think he wins it. I do. I think he wins it, and I think he wins it via decision. I think he just outpoints him, outworks Alex Morano. He's not going to be threatened by the stand-up and not going to be worried about this fight going to the ground. So I think it's a winnable fight for Donald Cowboy Cerrone, as shocking as that is to say, you know, in this point in his career.
What about the main event? Marina Rodriguez, Michelle Waterson. Rodriguez -225, Waterson the dog at +180. And as you said, of course, the total 4.5 here, the over juiced heavily.
Yeah. First and foremost, short notice main event fight for both ladies. Technically, they are actually strawweights. This fight is at flyweight, so it's going to be at, you know, 10 pounds heavier than they typically fight. Rodriguez will be the bigger fighter. She's the better striker. She's only struggled with grapplers and women that'll take her to the ground. She's had actually 2 fights in a row that had 10-8 first rounds for her, and then she lost rounds 2 and 3 and ended up with draws against both of those fighters. Look, Michelle Watterson, the karate hottie, good fighter, but she's not a grappler. She's not a wrestler. She's going to have to win a stand-up fight against Rodriguez. I think that's a recipe for disaster. I think if you're backing Rodriguez, you actually think a finish happens. You take the under at 4.5 at +170. You maybe take her via TKO at +350. But if you're backing Watterson, you think she survives the first two rounds, you play the over, and you play her to win via decision. That's how I see it either going. If whatever side of the fence you are on, I'll probably go with the former. I think Rodriguez is a future title challenger, perhaps champion. She's that good. So I think she shines tomorrow night in a victory over Michelle Watterson.
Jordan, we do have a fight card tonight over in Bellator. A couple of names I think people also will be familiar with, former UFC guys and Sergio Pettis. We also have Anthony Johnson on that card as well. Only a few fights, you know, on that main card still remaining. What are you looking at as far as bets on this one?
Yeah, I played already the Anthony Johnson Acevedo under at 1.5. It's been 4 years since we saw Anthony Johnson fight, but Acevedo's taking this fight on short notice, and granted, he comes from a good camp. He trains with the Pitbull brothers. But, I mean, he's going to try and stand and trade with Anthony Rumble Johnson. I think Anthony Rumble Johnson chomping at the bit to get a showcase knockout. So under 1.5 is about $1.50. The other recommendation I probably would have, if you're going to play the main event, would be Juan Archuleta via decision over Sergio Pettis in the title fight main event. I don't see a finish happening by either guy. I think Archuleta is the better overall fighter. So if you want a small play in the main event, that would be my recommendation, Archuleta via decision.
All right. There's one other thing going on this weekend, by the way, guys. Do you, Matt, or you, Jordan, have any opinion on Canelo fighting tomorrow? Billy Joe Saunders. You even familiar with the fact that Canelo was fighting?
Yeah, I mean, he's a massive favorite.
-750.
Yeah, massive favorite.
Saunders +$5 coming back. You don't bet that, do you, Jordan?
No, and I'm going to thank you that you didn't ask me about the Paul Floyd Mayweather confrontation.
Oh, that's next time.
Yeah, that's next time, right?
Yeah,
no, I don't got a recommendation on that. Enjoy the Canelo fight. I guess he's one of the best talents we've ever had, but it's not worth the price.
So of all the bets, what's your favorite of the ones you mentioned?
It's actually the first one that I mentioned right off the top, the first fight that we talked about, the Harris Aguilera. I think Harris just going to wrestle Aguilera to the ground, get that easy win. So at $1.50, $1.65, that's my recommendation.
Okay. Jordan Sherwood. Jordan, appreciate it as always, man.
All right, guys. Have a great rest of your weekend.
You too. Jordan Sherwood at Wood on 106.3 again, host of the main event on ESPN West Palm. The Sixers are in a dogfight with the Zionless, Ingramless, Adamsless Pelicans. But it was 107-104 Pelicans, and then the Sixers have reeled off five straight to go up a bucket. They had a chance to go up more, but Embiid just short-armed a jumper. So the Pels have the ball down two. They call the timeout, and that's where we are now. 109-107 in the closing seconds of this one, to be precise. Exactly. 33 seconds left in this one. So
Jackson Hayes, who averages 6.6 points on the season, 19 for the Pelicans. If you're wondering where the production is coming from here, Bledsoe with 18, Ball with 18. So they're getting some help from the bench as well. And then you look down at the Sixers, Embiid doing all he can. He's got 37 and 13. But, just a ton of production on the Pelican side from players who typically don't produce for them.
Yeah, this is what Bill Simmons famously used to refer to as the Ewing theory. The fallen star theory is another way we call it, where a basketball team loses their big gun. In this case with New Orleans, you know, it's more than just Zion. And in the short term anyway, they rise up to the occasion. Again, basketball, you know, is an interesting alchemy of five players. There is an optimal efficiency to every five. And at least for one night, the Pelicans, super competitive without their guys against the Sixers, who are led by Joel Embiid, no surprise there. Embiid with a cool 37 points and 13 boards in this one.
This is an example, though. We talk sometimes about, you know, what do we really mean by tanking in the NBA? And it's not with the players. And this is, I was one of those people when I'm reading Ingram's out tonight and then what's going on with Zion. Okay, Pelicans have waved the white flag for the season. They're not even really going to try anymore. And then you're seeing this happen on the court tonight. You know, players aren't giving up. They're not giving up.
Pelicans look like they just turned the ball over, though. They're in review, I think. or in a timeout of some sort, but it looks like the Pelicans lost the ball. But it is Philly 109-107, 19.2 seconds left. They are reviewing to see if the Pelicans, in fact, turn the ball over. Yeah, we'll see how that goes. Again, New Orleans still hanging on by a thread in the Western Conference. They're only two games in the loss column behind the San Antonio Spurs. So were it not for the Zion injury, they'd obviously be thinking playoffs. And now, you know, this is the hand they've been dealt. But they got a shot at the play-in. They're trying to get to that 10th seed. So big implications for them. Philly just trying to secure a number one seed in the East, which they have the upper hand for here in the late going of the NBA season. We don't have the audio, so we don't know what's happening. By the way, Washington, just a home run, a three-run shot that puts the Nationals ahead of the Yankees.
Josh Harrison
acquired from the Bucks in the offseason for the Nationals. Three-run shot actually extends the Nationals' lead, I should say, from 4-3 to 7-3 in that one against the Yankees. So Yankees trying to stay out of last place. Based on what they do and what the Orioles do tonight, they may be right back there in the cellar of the AL East. Still very early. No one's worried, right?
Yeah.
Right?
I mean,
maybe a little bit.
Eh.
We say that about the Dodgers. We're not worried. Are we worried about the Yanks a little bit? I don't know. We'll update all the scores. We'll let you know how this Sixers-Pelicans game goes. By the way, the ruling, a jump ball at midcourt. See how that goes with 19.2 seconds left. It's VSiN's primetime action.
Love live in-game action, then download the free Odds Trader app right now so you can start winning with the up-to-the-second info you need. Gil.
Thank you, Danielle. You okay?
Yeah.
Yeah, just curious. Thank you so much. We're tracking everything. By the way, my Royals pre-flop bet, dog, Royals trail 1-0, a solo shot for the Sox, the Chi Sox, that is, in the top of the fifth, so 1-0 Chicago. Plenty of baseball to be played there. Philly still up on the Pelicans, 109-107. 10.4 seconds left in that one.
Going to another review, Gil.
Another review. Interminable review. Interminable reviews in these games. By the way, you know, for bettors, for those who took a shot, by the way, it was 11.5 was the opening spread on this game. But for those who might have taken a shot on the Pelicans on the money line, again, without Zion, without Brandon Ingram, plus 575 would be your return on this if the Pelicans could figure out a way to win it. And they got the ball down two. To the rack. No, pass underneath. Doing a terrible job play-by-play, but it's a turnover. Just threw the ball
and
away.
Ball game.
And that's the ball game.
Passes at people's feet don't often work well.
And when you get under there with the closing seconds, take a shot at it. Philly survives 109-107. One step closer to the number one seed, one step worse for the Pelicans in terms of their hopes to get to the 10th position and a play-in situation in the Western Conference.
We do have three first pitches here coming up momentarily, only about 10 minutes away. So the Dodgers and the Angels, Julio Urias and Griffin Canning. Right now, the Dodgers minus 167. So we didn't see this one just get absurd.
No, we didn't.
167. You're getting about 145, 150 on the Angels if you do want them. Rays and A's. Right now, that is Rich Hill and Sean Manaea. Right, you're getting 130. You're getting minus 130 on the A's, and you're getting about plus 115 if you want to back Rich Hill. And the Rays, final game of the evening, that is 9:45 Eastern, 6:45 Pacific, or Dame time. Blake Snell and Anthony DeSclafani are going head-to-head here, Padres and the Giants. We have Blake Snell and the Padres, about minus 145, minus 150 favorites. If you want the Giants and DeSclafani, you're getting about plus 125. You can find a 130 out there as well.
Yankees lose, they fall back to 500. maybe back to the cellar of the AL East, depending on what the Orioles do. Dodgers, if they lose, the Dodgers lose, they would be one game over 500 through 33 games. And it wasn't too long ago where we're like, this is, you know, could be one of the historically great teams in Major League Baseball in history. But they have just gotten the worst of injuries. They've been decimated.
Yeah, guys in and out of the lineup, and then, you know, you lose a starting guy in your starting rotation. Bellinger's been gone basically the entire season.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And then you had a guy in Zach McKinstry who came in and was filling in very admirably, actually. I mean, yes. he was doing really, really great, and he's kind of a jack of all trades. They could play him in the outfield or the infield, and then he goes down, and he's been out for a long time now as well. So a lot of these bats, you know, one, extended absences with those guys, and Mookie's kind of been in and out here and there, missed a few games back and forth. So it's been a rough go at it for them so far. And the thing is with Price and Gonsolin both on the IL for that fifth starter spot, they're going to have to stretch out Gonsolin, they're saying. So Price might actually get the first crack at it for the Dodgers. It seems like he's going to be back a little bit sooner than Gonsolin will as well. If we remember, Price was not good enough to win that fifth starter job begin the season because Dustin May beat him out. And so now they're kind of having to go back to this backup role here with Price. So it's interesting for sure. But, I mean, this is one of the things we talk about all the time with these futures bets. It is the shorter odds on these teams, we always say, but the risk you run with, you know, taking these short shots is mm-hmm. – if, you know, longer shots, it's not as bad, right? I mean, like you understand whenever you're getting involved with a 20, 25, 30, whatever it might be to one, kind of what you're going after here. But these shorter shots, you kind of need them to get home. You kind of need those bets or at least to be a sweat all the way through. But man, you get ravaged with injuries and there's nothing you can do about it.
Dodgers were 13-2. They've gone 4-13 since for a 17-15 record. By the way, Nationals with another RBI. It is now Nationals 8 and the Yankees 3. That one is still in the top of the 8th, so not looking good for the Yankees tonight. Mets still trail the Diamondbacks 4-1. That's in the bottom of the 6th, so not looking good for the two New York baseball teams thus far tonight anyway in that one. In both of those, I should say. We'll come back. We'll update all the scores. Kelly Celtics, not looking so hot. Yeah. That was Kelly's review of his bet that he made in-game. We'll update it all right here on VSiN's Primetime Action on MSG+.
Did you know VSiN.com has the latest lines and odds for every game on the board? You can track the line movements with live charts, get estimated scores for every matchup, and all the betting information you need to stay on top of the action. You can also use our parlay calculator to figure out payouts and get all of our betting 101 info, including definitions of the betting terms we use here on the Sports Betting Network. Start your day's sports betting research for free at VSiN.com. Gil.
Danielle, I feel like you had 10,000 bets tonight. We didn't update. We didn't update any of them.
I ordered like 6 winner videos. We just didn't have time.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Dakota. Let's roll one for Danielle. That will.
Five
I think
and,
we
five and two.
She's 3-1 or something, right? To start.
Yeah.
I've got you down 3-1 so far.
I'm
but
trying
I might
to look
be
at this. I got three. My count. I have 5-2.
Hey, Kelly. Celtics started 8-0 in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, so I noticed that. I don't have that game on my TV over here anymore. I wanted to bring up an old gambling thing, an old sports betting thing. Do you ever have that where I feel like this is from me from when I first started betting on sports to even today, where you've been watching a game that you got money on and it's going south, and then you turn it off, and then it starts to swing around. And you're like, "Well, I'm not turning it back on. I'm sorry. I'm one of those people.
I'm not. I'll turn it right back on.
You'll turn it back on.
Yeah.
I don't know why. I don't want to mess with that. I don't want to mess with that karma.
It's do the, you do you think that they're playing harder because you turned it off?
You never know, Matt. You just never know.
Okay.
Don't mess with the universe.
If you have that power, then I will call you over often on NFL Sundays. Yes. And if a team will play harder because we quit watching it when you're around.
If things things are going your way when you're not doing something, I'll stay away from it.
Between your beard videos, you're going to come over and you're just going to make these NFL teams play better for
there you.
Go.
I like that.
There is no shortage of superstitions for bettors.
Is there any that you used to come to yourself, Gil? Because I don't believe in those either. I got some people on Twitter hitting me with stuff during the football season. They're like, "Oh, you spoke too soon," and the bet would still come through.
Oh, that one drives me crazy, right?
Yeah.
I'll tell you what I will do. If I'm sort of like Kelly's, but not exactly, if I look like I'm losing something, I will often go to my database and mark it as a loss. I will never mark a win prematurely, but I will oftentimes mark a loss prematurely for the possibility of the reverse
getting
jinx.
To change it.
That's right.
To a win.
That's
I do that as well.
Yes. Why are you 5-2? So you have two more wins here and one more loss?
Yeah, missing.
Okay.
Oh, Diamondbacks Mets, that's a win. And then we're waiting on Padres Giants. That should get underway in the next 10 minutes or so. Rays mm-hmm. A's, same situation. And then Blues Golden Knights, that'll kick off in just about 30 minutes.
Okay.
Not kick off, but, you know, puck drop.
Well, it still kicks off. But, I mean, you know, let's kick this party off. I mean, like, you kick things off even if you're not actually kicking something.
Someone might actually kick someone. We don't know. It's hockey.
I saw it the other night.
I've kicked a lot of things off without actually kicking anything. So, I mean, I think we're fine.
Face off, kick off, tip off.
Yeah.
You know, you just apply it to the sport. First pitch in baseball.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the one.
We can kick off of the show and not kick anything.
That's true.
You know?
That's true.
Matt kicks the box underneath his desk.
That's true.
Yeah.
Well, you're pulling back the curtain too far on a Friday.
I feel like this is memories of me, like, in journalism school arguing with a professor about, like, you can kick off anything. Matt, making the same argument Matt's making. They'd be like, no. Puck drop, tip off, no. It's unfair. You can kick off anything.
The one that you brought up, though, Danielle, where people are like, oh, you like people legitimately think
if you
that
say
you
it,
change the outcome of a game if you said something prematurely. There are some people who believe that is actually
the
happening.
Worst is the no hitter one.
Oh, yes.
About when a guy has a no hitter, like in the seventh inning, like, don't say anything. You can't bring up the no hitter. And it's like, okay.
It's like the butterfly effect. It's going to
reverb. If I mention it, he's going to just throw an 84 mile an hour, like, lob right down the middle. Like, no, that's not what's going
to
happen.
So we're not superstitious bettors here, is what we're getting to, right? I generally not.
Although Kelly's not returning the game back on.
I would say this is the only core, but like. Gil, I think what you did with marking the L's, I do that too.
Yeah.
It's just weird little quirks. I would say that's similar to what I'm doing right now.
First step's admitting you have a problem, Kelly.
It's the first.
It's just a quirk.
I mean, right now I got a losing
problem. It's not a superstition, it's a quirk.
That's more of a, like, I don't think that's more of a, that just makes you feel better.
Yeah.
Like, that just makes you feel, you do, like, when you're just getting crushed at a blackjack table and it's like the last hand and then they deal you like a 14, you just start getting up.
Right.
Like, you just start getting up, even though you could still win the hand. You're just like, all right, I'll just.
That's exactly right. Everybody's had that one blackjack run where you're like, am I not going to win one hand?
Exactly.
Yeah. It's like you've got your last money on the table and it's not a blackjack. So, like, no matter what number it is, you're like, all right, one. Obviously.
That's very true.
I'm out of here.
I will say, though, like with mine, with this game, so, like, I'm getting +4.5 live. Yeah. If it gets to, like, 5, yes, I'm turning the game back on. So, really, I'm just talking
nonsense. We'll keep an eye on it for you then.
Yeah,
there seems to be this force field at 12 where the Celtics can't get within 12.
I mean, don't get me wrong, I still got the score right next to me on my Don Best screen, so I'm still seeing that.
Yeah, it's like that Pacers-Hawks game last night, where the Pacers, team turmoil, had no business winning it, and then the Hawks just made this run, but every time they got within a bucket.
Every time.
Yeah. It's like,
that Caris LeVert jumper at the end off the glass to, like, seal it, and I'm, like, sitting back. I was here 30, 40 minutes after the show in the same chair watching the game.
Were you really?
Oh, yeah. And I'm like, I got 4.5 live, 5.5. I'm like, as long as he doesn't make some junk basket here, I'm good. And then,
Man. The rest of us are home. Kelly's still behind the glass watching his bet. Go home.
Yeah. There's people that, like, walk by outside our studio being like, what's this one guy doing in here?
By the way, your dad's not listening, so you want to tell your story about your dad?
Oh, he is. He is in town. I will be joining him for dinner. But, I've been doing radio TV for 12 years now. no idea what I'm doing. He has texted me 37 times during the show.
What's he calling you to?
With multiple responses from me being in show, in show, in show.
Yeah.
And then we get to a break and a response of a little bit more detailed response from me. I'm like, yeah. I cannot text. I'm in the middle of a show. I still have like 8 unanswered text messages from him right now.
This Nuggets Jazz game went off at 2:20. It's 41-40 after one.
Oh my goodness. 41-40. On pace for 320. 324, actually. Kelly, by the way, that never ends. My mother to this day, and I'm a lot older than you. My mother to this day, I have one brother. That's my only sibling. One is a doctor, and the other is still deciding. Still deciding.
I have a doctor's sister as well, so I got the feeling. Yeah.
Oh, no.
She doesn't know how to describe it. She doesn't know. She goes, I don't know what he does.
To my mother's credit, it's the opposite of my dad. She always assumes I'm working. So it's like apologizes good. When she calls me. I'm like, you don't need to apologize.
Oh, jeez.
Can you tell we're off MSG?
No one ever calls me.
No one ever calls
me? No one ever calls me. Like, about for anything.
It's another problem.
Like, no one ever calls me for anything.
Wow, that's... That just got
you're listening out there.
That took a
I'm
turn.
Lonely, all right? Call me.
Speaking of Matt's loneliness, though.
You can probably find my number somewhere.
Yeah.
Speaking of Matt's loneliness, like a year ago, we were going to have a Cinco de Mayo party at Matt's house, and it had got canceled because
his
of the
compound?
Pandemic. And I'm just wondering when we're going to do that again.
No rain check, apparently.
Yeah.
No. What's the next big holiday?
Fourth of July. Fourth of July, Matt's pool. All right.
Fourth of July.
You're adding things to it in the pool.
Oh, yeah. It's a pool party. Yeah.
Fourth of July.
I'll be there all day.
We'll come back. We'll wrap up these scores. Royals not looking good for me right now. It's 1-0. I'm overreacting, but you get the idea. We'll come back. Wrap it up right here on VSiN's Primetime Action.
Join the action on DraftKings, the leader in daily fantasy sports. Just download the app and use promo code VSIN, that's VSIN, when you sign up to compete for cash prizes each week. Don't wait, sign up now and new customers get a deposit bonus of up to $500. That's code VSIN when you sign up. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER or in Indiana, 1-800-9-WITH-IT. Must be 18 years or older. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. Gil.
We're hogging up the hosts.
Final segment on a Friday. We're a bunch of hogs in here.
All right. We have some first innings going on, though.
How are we looking?
Wait a minute.
Okay, so
stop
Tampa
everything.
Bay, Rays here. Wait, right? Yes. Okay. Lightning, they Rays. Got there's lots
the,
of things going
the
on.
The Rays got through the middle of the first.
Okay.
The,
so we have
a half inning left for you to win.
Okay. And Padres Giants should be underway in just a moment here.
You are a no-run first inning betting fiend.
Look it up, and so far, 15-4 on the no runs.
15-4 lifetime on these?
Yes.
All right,
lifetime of the last 2 weeks.
It's your lifetime.
That's still a
You're
lifetime.
A documented 15.
You would have to
four.
Go on a horrendous run even to get to 500. So I mean, that's a you're in a really good spot.
Yeah.
Good for you, Danielle. Good for you. Don't let anybody tell you to do anything differently.
No.
Except when I.
Well, I did though. Gil mentioned that I shouldn't vote the no run first inning on the Blue Jays tonight, and I took the yes instead, and that came through.
There you go.
Yeah.
Not listed.
I'm corrigible. What's incorrigible? Is it? You can be corrigible.
You're gruntled.
I'm gruntled. Can you be
you took that. You took that suggestion very gruntily.
I was gruntled.
Here we go.
I've been gruntled.
What happens here on Friday? Elevation or altitude?
Let's get weird. Let's just get weird with this last segment. I mean, you know, it's Friday. There's like, you know, we're sweating a first inning, half inning bet here. I mean, there's lots of stuff going on, you know. Get what you got going on this weekend, man. You're going to fancy dinner tonight. Yeah, fancy dinner tonight.
Yeah. Toughest table in town, everybody. Barry's over at Circa.
I couldn't get in.
I went last week after the draft.
You loved it?
Yeah, they had a vegan menu, which I was shocked to see. That's so Vegas.
Wait, you didn't go vegan menu at Barry's, did you?
I did.
Oh, stop it.
You can take the rest of this.
Normally.
This is supposed to be a fun segment,
listen,
and this is
going
to be the fun Friday last segment,
listen.
And then, like, you can take the rest
of. All right,
off.
Listen, no. we collectively as a group have talked about going to a steakhouse together.
Yes, we have.
That is where I will use my cheat night.
Cut but banana cream, banana, what's it called again?
The banana cream pie.
Banana cream pie.
That's funny, because I had banana cream pie at Barry's. It was very good.
Mm. You'll love the bread at where we're going.
Yes.
Don't want to spill the secret on that one.
Yeah, well, we can't. No,
we can't say that.
Because if we went and sat down and they were like, we're out of bread, we'd be like, where's you going to go?
Out of here.
But like, yes, Barry's had a vegan menu. I'm very surprised by that. That's such a Vegas thing to do.
Celtics down 10, Kelly. Don't want to excite you.
I just flipped it back on.
Oh.
Okay.
All right.
It was 8, now it's 10, but yeah.
See if you get there. My Royals bet is going down. White Sox up 3-0 now, top of the 6, so I'm not happy about that. But at least Danielle's winning.
More or less.
Yeah.
How's the hockey coming?
Hasn't started yet, has it?
Yeah, Vegas Golden Knights, so it'll get underway in just a minute here. Yeah. Hopefully Andy and I both win tonight.
Again, Danielle on the puck line for the Blues. Andy is on the Vegas Golden Knights. So if the Knights win by 1, everybody's a winner.
I also have Golden Knights to score first. I thought that would be a fun one to see come home.
Well, you are all over the place. Good for you.
Good for 8:30 reservation at Prime confirmed.
There you go.
Oh, that's where you're going?
Because my dad keeps texting me.
There you go. That's good, though. Great view of the fountains. You'll love that. Great view of the fountains.
Still deciding. Just go with that. I'm still deciding, Dad.
Yeah.
We talked about this, but if you're late night Friday audience, I did bet the Vikings and
the Bears.
The Bears.
Nice.
For the NFC North. So that is in the account.
What number did you get on the Vikings?
To join, so the Vikings 270.
Okay.
So you can kind of mix and match, right? So yeah. You can mix and match 270 on the Vikings and then 330 on the Bears.
So what you are saying is that you believe that Aaron Rodgers will not be in a Packers uniform this year.
It just keeps on. I mean, again, like, I don't have any sources.
Holds out for a while.
It just keeps on with this, like, that it looks like this is just a done deal here.
I don't want to get in a stubborn contest with Aaron Rodgers. He's going to win that with the Packers.
Me either.
I don't think he'll get traded. I am with Lombardi on that. Mm. I think it's more likely he sits out than gets traded.
Yeah. I think the only thing that he could do to get traded would be sit out. They end up 6-1 or something like that with Jordan. I mean, with Jordan Love, like quarterback. And then they're like, okay, well, we don't want to pay this guy anymore. Let's have somebody else pay him.
And then he goes to the Vikings and the Jets and then retires in Hattiesburg, Mississippi, or, you know, whatever. Yeah, Brett Favre. By the way, since I've turned on this game, the Bulls are now on a 12-0 run.
So Kelly, you were right after all. That proves Kelly's theory that he was making them play worse.
Obviously, because it happened one time, it proves my theory. That's right.
That's right.
I do also have Browns futures. On there, we took all took all show.
Matt's foot box
took all foot box fell. I do have Browns futures as well in the account. Over on win totals, I got it before it got to 10 when it was at 9.5. It's at 10 now. I think we all still like it at 10. You know, I think we all still like it there. And then I also took Browns to win the division. And I also have, what else did I have? Oh yeah, the under on the Texans win total. There is, by the way, if you live in the rest of the country, there is a rogue 4.5 still out there. Look at search around a little bit. There is a rogue 4.5 still available.
We're laughing as you said, if you live in the rest of the country, yes. Yeah. Not Nevada residents.
Yes. We do not have
anywhere but here.
Yes. We do not have the 4.5, but the 4.5 does exist everywhere out there elsewhere. So look around for that. And
is
it's not even
the one you're
juiced.
Most confident about? Because that's the one you were telling people to get on earlier.
I think the Texans could lose every single game.
Good God.
I 17 hope game Davis season. Mills comes out and just proves Matt wrong.
Davis Mills is going to come out, and he is going to get sacked. It is going to be like David Carr era stuff.
Why are we skipping over Tyrod Taylor?
David Carr could have been the greatest quarterback in the history of the NFL. We would never have
known.
We'd never know. Because he was in the worst situation you could ever possibly be in, and I think that this team is back to that. Is back to that state.
This gets back to my whole thing about quarterbacks. There is no sport where this applies to, right? Because basketball, the talent takes over. Baseball is a one-on-one sport, disguised as a team sport. But in football, your situation at quarterback defines your whole career, but there's no way we can prove that, right? But it's, I so believe that.
Like, I hate David Carr that we joked about it so much and it played out when we kept saying, like, well, for as long as Joe Burrow plays. And like we kept saying it because it was he was getting destroyed every single time that he dropped back. And we were sitting here saying, like, yeah, I mean, he's going to win Rookie of the Year, well, for as long as he plays. And then sure enough, like you're sitting there watching, and it came to fruition. Now, he happens to have at least a little bit of talent around him and stuff at receiver, and they got even more talent around him. But you're completely right, Gil. I mean, like, you look at some of these situations, they're impossible. They are impossible for these people to succeed, and Houston is definitely one of those spots. It is impossible for Davis Mills to succeed.
Didn't we skip over Tyrod Taylor? Isn't he on the roster?
He is.
Oh, so we just skipped over him?
Well, I'm saying, like, if they honestly think...
Wouldn't it be cooler if it was Davis Mills?
Yes,
it would. How do you draft a quarterback with your first pick in the draft?
And you only have a handful of picks.
And not play him? Like, how do you do that? Like, if you don't play him, then you basically just admit it. We completely wasted a draft pick.
Juan Soto just goes yard for the Nationals. They extend their lead on the Yankees. They are crushing the Yankees right now. I need Juan Soto to do Juan Soto things for my most hits 75-1 bet.
Ooh, 11-3.
I'll tell you what I bet today. Wasn't as sexy as football, but I bet some more Casper Ruud to win the French Open. And okay. I've got him at 90-1, at 60-1. I think I even took a little bit less than that, but that's the range he's in. He beat Stefanos Tsitsipas in Madrid this week. He won again today against Bublik, who's a big server. Nadal lost today, lost on clay. Now, it's not Roland Garros clay. It's not slow clay. So I'm not sure that anybody who loves Rafael Nadal ought to be worried. But let me just say, there's enough of a sliver of a chance that this is where his run ends that I went ahead and made bets on someone not named Rafael Nadal for the first time ever in my life.
66-1 at DraftKings right now.
Get it.
I mean, look, again.
Yeah.
It is a bet you're not supposed to win, but you're holding 66-1. This is what we have to keep.
That's right.
We have to keep saying this over and over again. Like when you play these plus money bets or these big long odds, things like that, like they're not supposed to hit, but is there a good enough probability? And like Gil's saying, I mean, he's watching this guy play. He likes what he's seeing. Could this finally be the year? And here's the other thing about tennis. Like, people get hurt mid-tournament. People get hurt in tournament.
Yep.
Like, it's not crazy to think that Nadal could go out there and something, hamstring, whatever, or shoulder, or whatever, you know, quad.
Not that you're wishing that on him.
No, but that happens.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, you know, you just talk about what did we bet today. This is what we spend our days doing. By the way, there are the Houston Texans. Can we show that? The Houston Texans, 5 draft picks. They only had 5 picks. Davis Mills, who we were talking about out of Stanford, the quarterback. But then Nico Collins, Brevin Jordan, Garrett Wallowen, and who can forget Roy Lopez?
Right.
So that's that. That's all they added to the team. They were 4-12 last year. Their season win total is 4 or even 3.5.
Rays and A's. No run.
Oh, there you go, Danielle.
Cash it.
Can we give her a winner video? If we give her a
winner video and me a loser video, because this Celtics bet ain't getting home.
Danielle having a night. 6-2 now?
Tonight? Yeah. 16-4 all time on the no runs.
Good for you. Winner, winner, chicken dinner. And there's Kelly's. Ouch.
You're a loser.
Yeah, it might be. 3 outcome baseball, walks, strikeouts, and homers. It might be a different, there might be a different calculus to everything you bet in baseball, but specifically perhaps the first innings.
Ironically, not my best subject in high school. If
it's
you
a small
it.
Sample size. We'll
calculus.
See.
Small sample size.
We will be able to run this here in about, we will be able to run this here in about a month and a half and see. There's a drastic shift.
Nationals just beating up on the Yanks now, 11-3. All right, we got to run. Good luck the rest of the way tonight with all that you're betting. The Nightcap with Tim Murray is next. Danielle and Matt got a skedaddle, I believe is the word we use. Good luck with all your bets. We'll talk to you Monday night. We're on MSG Plus 3 times next week. So be sure to tune into us an hour early from all of us at VSiN's Primetime Action.